redeem the time. Makes me think of that verse, we don't know when the Lord's coming back, amen? And I, for one, would not mind if it were pretty soon. How about you? The world in which we live in is can be a frightening place, sort of the topic I want to address tonight. So open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. To know the Lord and have a relationship with Him and have salvation is a wonderful thing. But if you do not trust and have faith in His sovereignty, then that can create a sense of fear and hopelessness. And we as Christians ought not be afraid. We ought to be trusting in the Lord. I've been bothered, and perhaps you, I mean, if we were to sit down and have a conversation with each other, we could talk about what we're going through as a culture, as a society, as a world, right? With the pandemic, with the people who have passed away, the different illnesses, and everything that's going around, we can talk about that. And if we focus on all of those things, if we focus on the news and we focus on this particular politician or this particular person, and we begin to be distracted by all the things other than God, we become afraid. It is not hard to be fearful in this world. I think if we're honest with ourselves, we could probably, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but there have been times when we have caught ourselves uncertain about what's going on. We've experienced a bit of fear regarding certain things. And it's a natural emotion for us to face. It's a natural thing, but it's of the flesh, especially when it comes to what we're instructed in Scripture not to do. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, right? So this is the text we're going to look at, and I want us to focus on this phrase. Being afraid reveals that we have a lack of faith in God. Being afraid reveals that we have a lack of faith in God. Now, I'll be more specific as we get along. So if that phrase bothers you, I think with time, I'm going to show you in Scripture where we can where I'm trying to go with this. So look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, and this is a familiar verse, verse 7, and we'll read down to verse 12. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's good news, right? Verse 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. So we're going to spend the majority of our time tonight speaking to the wrong type of fear. And I'm going to give you several verses of Scripture. So I would suggest jotting these down. And I bet, too, that we could have a conversation and you could share with me verses that you go to when you experience fear, right? Or when you're worrisome, when doubt arises. And I just will not pretend to be a super saint and that I do not experience these emotions. I'm not going to tell you that because I do. And I combat it with Scripture. It's the only thing I know how to do. You know, I used to go to my parents when I was a child, when I was afraid. We had quite the storm last night, and I was jarred awake about midnight by a loud crack of thunder. And so I immediately got up because I knew that likely my children would wake up. And there was another loud clap of thunder. And I was getting up to calm them because I was certain that they would be afraid. Now, I don't think they even budged. I don't think they woke up because, you know, sometimes rain is that good atmosphere of sleeping. But nonetheless, I was prepared because as habit would have it, those storms scare children, right? And so they would come to us for comfort when they were afraid, just as I would go to my parents. And as we've grown and matured in our relationship with God, I run to God when I'm afraid. I can't call my mom and say, Mom, there's a thunderstorm. She goes, you know, you're 41, get over it or deal with it, right? But I can go to the Lord because he's in control of those things and I can trust in him. So to allow the wrong kind of fear to reign in our lives today is a lack of faith in the sovereignty of God. It's honestly a lack of obedience. And it's hard to say it, but I don't say it. The scripture says it. We are not to fear certain things. So I'm going to give you several verses tonight. And our sound guy is not going to have time to flip through all of these. So don't expect them to pop up on the screen. Just write them down. John chapter 14, verse 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And I am so thankful that the peace he leaves with us is not the same kind of peace that the world offers, because it doesn't last, right? "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Romans 8, 15, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." You ever cried to God, "Abba, Father"? Brother Les Baker was a missionary in Haiti for years and years and years and years and years. And he used to call him my papa. He would go pray to my papa. You know, he just climbed up into the lap of the Lord. "Cry unto him, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 25 and 26 says, "Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken." Genesis 3, 9 and 10, this is where Adam was rightly afraid. "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And I mentioned that verse because we're going to talk about this type of fear as well. But, you know, if you were able to watch the broadcast Tuesday morning, yesterday morning that I did, I mentioned that I had gone to my computer and I used the Bible app. I think it's Bible Gateway. There's lots of Bibles on there. But I did a search, "Fear not." And I didn't even have time to read through the first 100 of them. There's so many phrases that if it's not directly together, "fear not," which there's lots of those, there's "fear" and "not" in the verse. And I just started to read that because we as Christians have got to be a better testimony of not being afraid of what we're going through. We have one of the greatest opportunities likely of our lifetime to offer the gospel of hope to a world that is terrified, to a world that is scared of what might happen and that they might die. And everyone is getting this dose of their own mortality, and it has caused a sense of fear. And it should not be amongst us as Christians. I'm not saying we don't need to be careful. I'm not saying all of these things. I'm saying as Christians, we ought to offer a beacon of hope to those who are afraid. And we cannot do that if we are exhibiting fear ourselves, if we're terrified of what might happen, if we become useless in our testimony for the Lord. Adam had a good reason to be afraid here, but what I really want us to see, or what you to see here, is that fear caused Adam to hide from God. He caused him to run, and I mean, he ought to have known that there's really no way he could have hid from God, but he tried, right? Now, have we ever done that before? Thought that perhaps we've pulled the wool over the eyes of God, and because there was no consequence to a sin we had committed, and so we think, you know, maybe God's not particularly interested. It's foolish to think that because we know that God is everywhere all the time. So, but Adam had a good reason to be afraid, but because he was afraid, he hid from God. Think about that. Remember that. As Christians, if we are going to be afraid, we are not going to be productive in what God has called us to do. One of the purposes of Satan using fear in our lives is to keep us from finding rest and peace in God. You know, this is a sad situation. We as Christians have this connection of the ultimate connection of all time. We can connect with God the Father. That veil was rent. Jesus Christ paved the way. He became an advocate so that now, robed in the righteousness of Christ, I can approach the almighty throne of God. And that's incredible. But we are not doing that if we're afraid. Matthew chapter 25. This is the example, the parable of the The servant that buried his talent. You remember the master distributed certain talents. So Matthew chapter 25, I just want to read a few verses because really this is something we need to look at. We need to understand what happened here because he was afraid. Verse 24 of Matthew 25. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. It's still there, he says. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye up, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We can allow fear to keep us from walking by faith and fighting the good fight of faith. Isn't that a sad story to think about? Imagine being that servant who hid that talent and listening to the others receive their reward for not being afraid to use that talent, to invest it, to put it to good use, and just probably biting his nails, wondering what the master was going to say to him who he buried the talent because, by his own words, he was afraid. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, again, it says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. I pray that we go away from here tonight with an understanding that Satan uses fear to paralyze Christians. He does not want you to be effective. He cannot have your soul. Nothing can take your soul from God. You're a saved individual. If you belong to the Lord, you belong to the Lord. He can't have your soul, but he can make you useless. He can make you paralyzed where you're not useful for the Lord. And that is certainly what he wants to do. It is easy to fear in the world that we live in. If you're not walking with the Lord, I know you're fearful in some way because it's only through that relationship with God that we are not afraid. It's easy to be uncertain. But I'm warning you, Christian, myself included, that we are told to not be afraid. We are a child of the Almighty, the all-powerful, the all-wonderful, sovereign God of the universe. So let's look at a few things. Satan's purpose for fear, creating fear, at least attempting to do it. And by the way, Satan is a master at using fears. You know, I love the verse, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Don't you love that verse? But don't think that that means Satan is not a worthy opponent. Because if it's just you and me against Satan, we're no match. We are no match. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Of yourself, you're no match for Satan. And we ought not approach it that way. We ought to approach it as in God's leading and in God's protection. He's the master at using our fears. He can keep us from being an effective Christian or happy person, joyful person, by using our own fears. He uses the spirit of fear to make our lives miserable. You know, if you are a fearful person, you are not a joyful person. I heard a story years ago, and the lady's name is Hetty, and I think her last name is Green. She was, in the early 1900s, a very, very, very wealthy woman, like millions of dollars. In today's money, all this, just tons and tons of wealth. But she was afraid that she would lose it. She was always fearful of losing her money. And so she ate cold oatmeal because she didn't want to pay to have the water heated. Her son got a serious injury on his leg, and she sought out a free clinic. And it took her so long to find free treatment that they had to amputate his leg. She was so afraid of losing all of this wealth that she never enjoyed it. We can be afraid of losing our health, our wealth, or whatever it may be, so much so that we don't even put it to use for the Lord. You know, and this is the danger, especially in a COVID world, right? It's a danger that Christians lose their ability to have an impact. Because why? Because they're not standing up for what we believe in, or not witnessing to people, not sharing the gospel. There are ways to do it in a COVID world and still be within government restrictions. There are ways to do it. You know, look at this. Right now, anybody in the world who has an internet connection can log in and watch this service. Isn't that, it's crazy to think about. I still chuckle sometimes at what we do as churches these days. But you know what? It is a tool that we ought to be using and should be using to preach the gospel. There's lots of ways that we can do that. And if we are not careful, Satan uses fear to cause us to be in seclusion. I mean, it's easy to say, well, I can't really share the gospel because I'm not supposed to leave my house, right? I can't really share the gospel because I can't hand a gospel tract to somebody. There's lots of things we can do to share the gospel, and we ought not let fear keep us from doing that. Satan loves to keep us afraid and make us ineffective. You know, many times we don't share our faith with someone because of fear. What will they think of me? What will they say? They may get mad. They may make fun of me. These are common fears Satan uses to make us ineffective witnesses. Sometimes we don't get involved in service to the Lord for fear. I can't teach a Sunday school class. I'm afraid, or I can't go witnessing. I can't help in the nursery. I could never be a missionary. I can never serve the Lord in that capacity. I'm afraid. I think it's so sad to read the story of that talent that man hid because he was afraid. Man, I tell you, Satan wants us to be miserable and afraid and paralyzed in the work of God, and he has sneaky, dirty methods for doing it. I mean, if we were to have a conversation, you and I, and we would talk about things that God or that Satan uses to make us afraid, we could come up with a lot of things, right? My past, my sordid past, or my sinful past, what God could never use me, or perhaps the potential of failure. Satan put in your ears, you can't do that. You're going to fall on your face and make a mockery, and you'll be ashamed, and you'll be so embarrassed. He uses criticism. No matter what I do, somebody won't like it. You know, so why bother? You know, I'm just trying to be, these are fears that I've heard, why people don't do things, you know, because or why we don't serve the Lord. He could use global pandemics and politics and media outlets to make us afraid and useless for the Lord. Satan's a master at using fears to stop us, to bind us, to rob us, to cause us to be paralyzed and useless for the Lord. And that makes me mad. Does it make you mad? I just get angry to think that Satan is feeding Christians this buffet line of fear, and we have become useless for the Lord, lazy for God. You know what? Do you know the power you have with prayer alone? Prayer and fasting? Just that alone could change the world. When's the last time you spent 1 hour praying to the Lord? Don't raise your hand. I just wonder. Think about this. We have all this time. That's one of the things. It's almost satire, and people have made a lot of memes and stuff about being in quarantine and, you know, day 362 of quarantine, and they're usually doing something, you know, ridiculous, like polishing Hot Wheels or something like that, because they have all this time on their hands. What if during this pandemic, every Christian spent 1 hour a day in solid prayer to God? I don't know. I wonder what would happen. I don't think we realize the power we have in prayer, or we'd be doing it more. None of us are immune from the tactics of Satan. Some may struggle differently than others. The point is, we all struggle in some aspect of this, I believe. I mean, unless you got it figured out. And if you got it figured out, I would invite you up here to tell us your methods, pending they were biblical, right? Because this is something we deal with, and I think we can relate. God provides us some things to overcome and get the victory. And I would encourage you, and I bet many of you within the sound of my voice tonight have go-to verses that help you not be fearful. We teach them to our children. We use them ourselves, right? We use these verses. So we have in our text back in 2 Timothy chapter 1, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power through Christ Jesus." The Bible says in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." I like that word, strengtheneth. I like that word, power. "He hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power." That's a great word, is it not? He has given us the spirit of power. Where does that come from? What kind of power? Well, You know, I think of John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Romans 15:13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Abound in hope. Does that sound like you? Abounding in hope? That's another word of study that's fun to look in the Bible. It's power. Look at all the uses of power and how many of those apply to you as a child of God. The power of God. He hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Power to endure trials. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. With the passing of Brother Burge this week, our Sunday night, I've been thinking about this verse, my grace is sufficient for thee. And I clearly remember Alice, Mrs. Burge, talking about that verse. And I don't know if she was giving testimony. I think they lost a son in a very difficult way. And she was revealing how God's grace was sufficient. And it just clicked when I heard Dr. Burge die. I have no doubt that Alice, Mrs. Burge, is going to be just fine because she's trusting in the Lord. And yes, she'll be sad, of course. We're going to miss him, but it's not going to be long before we're together. And God gives us the power to have grace and sufficient strength in times of great trial. I can remember the times in that 3-week period when my dad was on his deathbed. And I would be lying if I told you there were times that we did not become worrisome. You know, we begin to look at the flesh side of things and what's going to happen with the church and is mom going to be okay and what's going to happen here. But, you know, those were very short-lived, mainly because of folks like you. Many of you were here and were praying for us when that was happening over 10 years ago now. I can't believe it's been that long. But it's because we made through that difficult time in our lives because God's grace is sufficient. And that power is from God. That just doesn't come from nowhere. And God gives us that. Don't be afraid. If you are trusting in, drawing from, relying on, and believing in the one who has all the power, he will give you the power you need. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. And also of love. In our thinking, it doesn't seem that love could be effective in conquering fear. Maybe in your thinking, if you're a mature Christian, but just right off the bat, how can love contribute to me not being afraid? Well, the more that we love God, the less fear we will have. And I can say that because it's a matter of trust. You know, when we realize that God will take care of us, it relieves our fear. My kids don't worry about having food to eat. Oh, if you listen to them, you think they're starving. But deep down inside, they know that they're going to have a meal in front of them because I provide it for them, right? And so they don't have a fear of hunger. They trust in me that I will provide for them. Now, if I had not provided for them, if they experienced genuine hunger, and we know that many people do and many children do, and it's a terrible thing, but if they had that experience, have you ever met a child who's genuinely afraid that they may not eat? It's pretty heart-wrenching. But let me tell you why we don't have to fear when we can trust the Lord and he's given us this love. What do you mean by this love of God relieves our fear? So let me show you. The more we love others, the less fear we will have. How so, Pastor Tricky? Well, love causes us to overcome our fear for the good of others. For example, rescue workers, right? And ambulance drivers, or even parents. Like, what parent would not jump in front of a truck to spare the life of their child? As a mother, you may be absolutely petrified of spiders, but you can overcome that fear if there's a brown recluse spider in the crib of your baby. You're going to overcome that fear and you're going to smash that spider, or you're going to get your baby out of there. Because of why? Because of your love for that child. Love causes us to tell others about Jesus, to teach them the Bible, to help others in need. Call it what you want, but the busyness that is service to Christ has a way of calming our fears. And this is what is, I really hope I'm painting a good picture of this characteristic, the love of God, because this is where I feel a lot of Christians are lacking, not necessarily in their love for one another, but their love for God and the love for the lost, to take the gospel message. As much as maybe you're like me, I don't know if you can relate to this or not, but I am excited about God coming back. Super excited about that. I look to the sky. Sometimes you ever see the clouds and the sun behind it, and the first thought you have is God could be coming on that cloud. But I do have a sick sense in my gut for those who don't know the Lord. Is that normal for you? It's normal for me. As excited as I am about it, I still worry about some of the people that I love who don't know the Lord. And love for others has a way of helping us not be afraid. He gives us a love, the gift of a sound mind. That's a big point. Many times our harmful fears are the result of wrong thinking. But something happens when we are saved and we begin to trust the Lord. Our mind is renewed. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's actually, when you study that, you know, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. There are people who believe in God that are out of their mind, fearful. And that is a result of not walking with the Lord, of not having faith in his word. It's weak Christianity, and it's frustrating. Have you ever frustrated yourself because you were a weak Christian? You're like, man, I shouldn't be afraid here. Or I should have witnessed to that guy. I should have been to church. I should have done this. I should have done that. You know, a gift of a sound mind, the soundness of mind comes from the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. I say it all the time because it's scriptural. And hearing by the word of God. Now, salvation is one thing, but we grow after we're saved. And we ought to have a sound mind by the renewing of our mind. And there's lots of passages that I could direct you to on renewing the mind. Ephesians 4, the put off, put on verses, the whatsoever things are pure, lovely, of good report, think on these things. Lots of good verses to memorize that will contribute to you having a sound mind. You know, maybe in my way of thinking, I may be afraid that I won't make it financially. But if I trust God and accept his way of thinking, I'll be assured he will take care of me, because the Bible says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. I can think about how he cares for the sparrow and the grass and the flower of the field and all of these things. If I'm afraid of dying, that fear is calmed by knowing that we are confident, I say, and willing rather, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Study the Bible. Read the Bible. Grow in your faith of the Bible. It will relieve your fear. It will give you a sound mind. It will give you love for the lost. Conquering fear is not a matter of self-determination. Because that points to self. It's a matter of dependence upon God. It's a matter of literally leaning on him and not on our own understanding. We should not fear except in one way. As much as I've said all of this, fear not, don't be afraid, you know that I have to talk about the way we are to fear, right? Because we are told to fear in Scripture, are we not? What are we told, or who are we told to fear? A Christian should know to fear God and should know how to fear God. In conclusion, I want to look at a few things concerning how to fear God. I'm not attempting to consider everything there is about fearing God. There's a lot in the scripture about that, but a few things that will bring us on the way to fearing God as we should. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Who said this? What book of the Bible is? Anybody know? Ecclesiastes, that's right. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Psalms 112, verse 1 says, praise you the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. To fear God is to obey him. It is a determination not to offend God, but to please him in the things that we do, to be concerned for what God says in his word, to be obedient to it. Joseph in the Old Testament, he understood fear of God, did he not? You know, this thing with Mrs. Potiphar, you know, in Potiphar's house when she wanted her and him to lie together in a very sinful way. He could have said, you know, I'm all alone. Nobody's going to know. But he didn't, right? He ran because he feared God. He says, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That's a proper fear of God. He loved God, yet he had a proper fear of God. He knew what the Bible said. He knew what the law said that he was not to do. Genesis 39:90. That's where you'll find that if you look at that reference. Rationalizing and excusing could have been very easy for him to do. Joseph's a good example, but there's a proper fear of God in his heart. We could also talk about Daniel. I don't know if you've heard any sermons from the book of Daniel recently, but Daniel was a good fella for understanding the fear of God, right? Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had no trouble answering the king and saying, no, sorry, we're not going to bow down. We just can't do it. Why? Because they had a proper fear of God, and God blessed them as a result. There was a proper fear of God that caused them to obey, and it would have been easy to say in any of those times, you would have thought, you know, because we're kidnapped and we're away from our family, we could just do these things. As I said when I was preaching that one Sunday about bowing down to the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, I said, you know, just to pretend to kneel down and latch your sandal whenever the music plays. For that matter, unlatch your sandal and get ready for the music to play. And then you can bow down and latch your sandal and nobody will know that you're not really bound. You know, these are things that the flesh would come up with and obviously did for a lot of those guys, but not for them. Why? They had a proper fear of God. Psalms chapter 145 and verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. Psalms 145:18-20. To fear God is to reverence him. That is a love that sells out to God and causes the desire to be that which pleases God and not self. We ought to be afraid when we sin. You know, we ought to have that fear of, oh, I disobey God. Now, that should lead us to repentance. I'm thankful for if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm thankful for that gut feeling, that jab to the heart when you've messed up and done wrong and the Holy Spirit immediately convicts you. And that is for you to do business with God. That's for you to get on your face and seek his forgiveness and perhaps forgiveness of the one that maybe you got angry at or that you sinned against. Abraham had this kind of fear. You know, even when God challenged the way that he had been leading Abraham, when he told Abraham to sacrifice his son, Isaac. Could you imagine? I mean, we look at this story from almost with fairy tale spectacles on. You know, yep, we knew Abraham was supposed to take Isaac, his only son he'd been waiting forever to have, the son of promise, and kill him on the altar. Yeah, that's a cute story. But you know what? Put yourself in Abraham's shoes. Could you imagine what that must have been like? It would have been terrifying, but he did it, right? He went and we read in Genesis chapter 22, where the angel said, Abraham, Abraham, he said, here am I. And he said, lay not a hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God. That's it right there. He delivered Isaac. He provided a lamb. Why? Proper fear of the Lord. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't even smell like smoke. Why? Because they had a proper fear of God. We haven't got there yet, but there's a lion involved in Daniel. And maybe you've heard that story before. But the lions were, I imagine, I told you before, my imagination often gets the best of me. But do you ever look at a lion, you know, and it just looks like their fur is so soft. You know, like you just want to, if you knew they wouldn't ravish you and kill you, you'd go up and just, you know, touch their little jaws and their big manes. And I imagine Daniel doing that because God had shut their mouths. Why? He had a proper fear of God. Paul had this kind of fear. He said, I counted all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Proverbs chapter 14 in verse 26 and 27. And the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. I want to drink of that fountain of life. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life. The fear of God causes us not to fear anything else, but to take great confidence in him. Man, have you ever read the Fox's Book of Martyrs? It's hard to read, it really, for me. But I cannot help but be in awe of the confidence of those Christians who feared God first and foremost. And I want to be able to say, if the time ever could, a time ever did come for that to happen to me, that I would fear God more than fearing man. And there's a reward in heaven. This confidence allows us to live as God would have us to live. A proper fear not only keeps us from wrong, but strengthens us to do right. You know, Esther said it best when she said, if I perish, I perish. It was the right thing to do, to go before the king. She goes, priest, please pray, prepare, I'm getting ready to go in. And if I perish, I perish. You know, she had a proper fear of God. I will do what is right to do, she said. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Jeremiah 10, verse 6 and 7, we'll close with this passage. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain, for as much as among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. There's none like him. And we need to have a proper fear of God, because the proper fear of God is how we don't fear anything else. We trust in him completely. Don't be afraid, Christian. You'll lose your power to be effective for the Lord. Fear not. If anything, now is the time for us as Christians to offer a beacon of hope to the lost and dying world. And if you're flailing in fear, you're not a very good example. I used this illustration Tuesday morning in my live stream. We had a lady in our church years ago. She's since been in heaven, but she was on disability. She had a condition that would not allow her to work. And she found out that she was going to lose that disability check from the government, and she panicked. She panicked. She called a bunch of people. She caused all sorts of trouble. Her heart rate went up. Her blood pressure shot through the roof. She had to be carted to an ambulance twice because she was petrified of losing her disability check. And she found out shortly after this took place that actually that wasn't going to happen. She was going to keep it. And like a light switch, everything was happy in her life. And you know what? That lady just showed the world that there was no use in trusting in God, right? Well, I don't want to, why would I go to that God? And here she is panicking after she said that the Lord will take care of me, and the Lord always is good to me, and God watches out for me. And at the first sign of a hardship, that all goes away. That's a poor testimony. And I don't want that to be said of me or anybody else in our church. I want us to trust the Lord and have a proper fear of God so that we don't fear what man can do unto us. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Pray that you'd help us to not be afraid. Lord, it truly is a big problem. Lord, I know this because in my own life, I have struggled with it. And Lord, you have given me victory time and time again, and I'm asking you for it to continue. Lord, that you give us strength and wisdom that we would rely heavily upon your word. And Lord, we need direction. As much as we are not perhaps afraid of what's happening in our world, we need to know how to navigate it. So Lord, we need your wisdom, and we need your guidance, and we need direction. And Lord, I do know that it's right to go out the doors of this building with the gospel on our lips. It's right to go out and tell people about the lost and to be an example of hope to the unsaved. I pray you'd help that to be our testimony. Thank you for our time together tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.